All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're live here at Edge of Thrones after the season finale of season 7. I'm obviously rattled. Tim Curry joins me as always.
What's going on, Dad? So much emotion after that episode.
Oh, my God.
It was a lot to take in.
My brain is scrambled right now. But, you know, the tweets are flying in, which we appreciate right after GOT. Let's start where we always start with the title of the episode.
Title of the episode of the season 7 finale, episode 7, was The Dragon and the Wolf.
Yes.
And as we previously discussed, there were two levels to it. The obvious one, Jon and Daenerys, House Targaryen and House Stark. The second one, Rhaegar and Lyanna, which we did get a dose of them at the end.
We did get a fair dose of them at the end.
That was a good reward there at the end. So, we'll get to that.
We're both rattled right now.
We'll get to that as we run down tonight's events, their implications, some predictions. Oh, man. So much.
So heavy. For those listening, we're live here right at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard, fresh off the episode. We are reacting right now live on Twitter at Right After GOT. The tweets are flying in already, which we appreciate. And we're reacting live here. Matt Dats, Tim Curry, Right After Thrones. So where do you want to start, Tim?
I feel like...
Take it from the top?
Yeah, we'll just start from the top of the episode, which this took up almost half the episode, or I guess maybe half a normal episode. This was an extra long one.
But yes.
We'll just talk about the events that occurred in King's Landing, as far as the meeting, the dragon pit. The truce, yeah, everything.
The negotiation before the negotiations, it was a lot to take in.
Yeah, and there were a lot of key moments in this that were kind of low-key, but key moments.
Exactly. Let's break it all down. 9:07 start time.
Yeah.
We knew we were getting 81 minutes, so we have no qualms.
Yeah, so we start off and we see kind of, as we talked about, everyone's bringing out their muscle. Everyone wants to look
straight
strong.
Out of the preview, too.
Yeah, so we see, you know, the Unsullied are there. We got, you know, Jamie and Bronn looking out, seeing them come in. Some good locker room talk there, as always, from Bronn.
Fantastic locker room talk, banters, 100%.
We see the Dothraki rolling on the horses, and, you know, they're just... quite a sight coming up on those horses.
The Screamers,
yeah.
Yes.
We get shot of the Greyjoy fleet outside of King's Landing. And then we cut away to the ship that's carrying, you know, the main players. We got Tyrion, Varys, Theon, Jon, Davos, Missandei. Noticeably not there, obviously, was Daenerys.
Yes. Before we pivot away from the Bronn, Jaime locker room talk, you know, overseeing everything that's going on here, we get a little notion of something that we didn't even see for the rest of the episode, but I wanted to touch on it briefly, maybe get your thoughts, which is the oil.
Yeah.
Remember this?
Yeah.
500 barrels
yeah,
of oil. Then they say, give me another 500, Bronn says.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't talk about it the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
So, just noted.
Noted as in, like...
What's good with that? I don't know.
I feel like that's, like, a kind of a medieval... like defense weapon where they would like pour hot oil on people at the wall at their outside the gates.
Or just
something.
Fling it over. You know, I don't know.
Or maybe it's like an explosive, like, you know, like a Molotov cocktail type thing.
I guess, like, but I don't know. They had the oil ready and it didn't get used. Yeah. But and then Bronn was making those calls, so it kind of shows his relevance right now.
Yeah, Bronn, Lord of the Blackwater, not Lord, but Lord Bronn of the Blackwater, Sir Bronn of the Blackwater. Yeah,
yes,
that was he's really come a long way since we met him as just a ordinary sellsword looking for cash.
Exactly. So where are we going?
So next I wanted to touch on, you know, as we were progressing towards the negotiation, we saw the Hound. And this is like, the Hound went, you know, last week he was part of like, you know, the Suicide Squad. And now he's like, he's almost become like a main member of this Jon Daenerys posse that they have, you know?
Yeah.
And, so that was a pretty quick transition for him there. So we see the Hound, and he's got the white in the coffin that he like taps on, and the thing goes nuts. So
it is berserk.
So yeah, the
reminiscent
Hound,
of last week when it went berserk and brought the boys wheeling in.
Yeah,
the White Walkers, or the whites.
So yeah, the Hound has kind of been the keeper of that white since last week. He's the one that tackled it and bagged it.
Yeah,
and then he was carrying it over his shoulder in that little rowboat. Now he's the one that's in charge of bringing it to King's Landing. So he's got a pretty big role there.
Exactly. It is intense. It's an intense build up
it,
for
it was,
sure.
Yeah, I mean the negotiations were intense. It was a very tense episode overall.
Quick note: they dropped the old, not the old, but they let us know 1 million people in the city.
Yes.
They brought that out there, and then
that kind of reminded me of like New York. They were talking about that the Hound is like, you know, I left this city, you know. Or no. John said, why do 1 million people live in this tiny, all in this, packed exactly. in this city? Like, that's more people than in the North combined. And he's just like, well, you know, better jobs, better brothels.
Yeah, it's better brothels. So. Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, just the momentum is building for the negotiations. So
then we get Cersei and the Mountain are prepping for the meeting, for the negotiations. And this is just a quick scene. She says to the Mountain, to Sir Gregor, she says, kill Daenerys. If things go wrong, mm-hmm. kill Daenerys, kill Tyrion, and then kill Jon.
She
doesn't say anyone's name. She has, you know, a demeaning nickname for all of them. You know, the white-haired, silver-haired bitch, my traitor brother, and bastard in the north.
That kills himself a king.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So says, you know, kill them in that order. Everyone else, I don't care what order you kill them in.
She's fired up.
Yeah. Then we see, as they're being escorted into...
Brienne and Podrick.
We get Brienne Podrick are there from Winterfell, representing Sansa. And we see...
Everyone just assimilates, like, real quick.
Yeah, it all happened really quick. You know, pace has been...
It's pace, pace,
a
pace,
theme
pace.
Of the season. And yeah. So we have some good banter with Brienne and the Hound. It's the first time that they've seen each other since she, you know, almost came very close to killing him and left him for dead. And, you know, it was kind of a nice moment that, you know, there's not really much animosity between them. She says, you know, I did it to protect her. And the Hound says, you know, so did I. And he says, you know, she's alive. She's in Winterfell. And, you know, so that was kind of a good moment, some closure for
them. Yeah, and then we knew we were getting that when we had this meeting of so many powerful figures, so many reunions we talked about in the preview pod. And just you knew you were going to get some small talk, some dialogue there that was going to be refreshing and, you know, you smile thinking back on the episodes.
Yeah, and then another Hound reunion right after everyone arrives, except for Daenerys. As soon as everyone arrives there in the dragon pit.
He's right up. The Hound's right on his feet.
Yeah, the Hound immediately sees his brother, the Mountain, and walks right up to him and sizes him up. And he's like, looking at him, he's like, you know, what the fuck did they do to you?
Yeah, what the
you know, you're uglier than me now. He's kind of...
And he's really purple. He's really purple.
Yeah, that was like probably the most we've seen of his face. He's a Barney, dude. His Darth Vader outfit. I mean, they got a lot of Darth Vader knights now. Cersei has made, you know, her home colors the black. Yeah. But, the Hound of the Mountain. And then the thing, the quote I wrote down from that, which was kind of like interesting.
It was weird.
He said, you know who's coming. You know, you've always known. So like that's kind of...
Cryptic, dude.
It's very cryptic because... I don't think it implies that the Hound is going to kill him. It implies that like there's something
else,
something greater.
Like, no, but it's like an inside joke, not joke though.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it's just like karma, something like that, or like you know.
Maybe he's real. Like it's like he's harping back on his religious, you know, excursions that he had, where he's
maybe. They have
good people. You got to do good things, shit like that. I don't know.
But yeah, that was just a very intriguing quote.
Exactly, cryptic as sin.
So then we get, as everyone saw, we had a little mini debate during our preview pod on how Daenerys was going to roll up.
Yeah,
and you were right. She comes in on the back of Drogon, right in front of everyone.
But we also talked about who's, you know, the two dragon thing as well.
Yeah, and
one idiot.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Oh, my pen didn't work when I wrote that note, but we'll get to that a little later in the episode when Cersei reveals her true colors. But so we have Daenerys. She rolls up on Drogon. And
she wheels
in front of everyone, she's wheeling. The boys are wheeling, and you know, everyone. It's a lot of the people that are there. It's their first time seeing a dragon. For her squad, obviously they're all accustomed to it a bit at this point.
And Cersei's tense. They flash on her as the dragon wheel. As not even the dragon. We don't even see visual of the dragon yet. We get like the shade of the dragon and the noise.
You hear it, yeah.
You hear it, and they get a quick glimpse of Cersei. In a rewatch, you can see. She grips the arms of her chair very tightly as it's coming out. She's visibly rattled.
Yeah. So, after that, when they're all there, you know, Cersei makes a comment like, you know, we've been waiting. You know,
yeah. See, my apologies.
So yeah, that's a power move there, going late to the
I love the
negotiations.
I love it.
Power move, and then we have Tyrion kind of is.
He's got a speech ready.
He's been rehearsing this for years. He's the lead negotiator. And all of a sudden, you're on. The wild card.
We talked about this. Wild
the
card.
The wild card. He gets up and just says, hey, you know, Theon, I have Yara. Submit to me or I'll kill her right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyrion just like looks at him like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is so much bigger than that. Like, why, you know, who brought this guy?
Yeah.
And then, like, he keeps going. He's talking shit on Tyrion,
yeah,
saying, you know, we killed your kind in the at birth in the Iron Islands. And then that's when, you know, Jaime, who we know Jaime doesn't like Euron, he mm-hmm. starts getting in on it, says, you know, dudes, you know, sit down. And then finally Cersei says, you know, you can sit down or you can leave. And that's when he finally sits down and stops.
Yeah, and it's like Jaime, you know, enters the convo as like at once he starts trying to shit on Tyrion. Like, it's almost like a little like,
yeah,
he draws a line at like, all right, if you're going to talk shit on Tyrion, let's do this, sit down.
Yeah, he made a comment about like the family. He said, you know, oh, it's we killed him at birth to, you know, as a favor to the parents, something like that. Like, so I think that kind of touched a nerve there for Jaime.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Cersei also.
He interjects. He's out of, yeah. Your aunt sits down. Boom. We're still wheeling.
Wild card. So yeah, so Tyrion is.
And we talked in the preview. This guy is Euron, obvious wild card, and he's like the little kid that's like not really at the big kids table yet, or like the adult table
yet.
Yeah,
like
he's
not a political guy. He doesn't belong here. He's there for the muscle for his ships. Like.
Yeah, exactly. So go ahead.
So Tyrion's leading off. He's discussing everything, and Jon steps in. He says that, you know, there's 1 million people in King's Landing. They're all going to join the army of the dead if we don't stop this. And basically, you know, these words that everyone is saying are kind of falling on deaf ears. They're not really inspiring anyone. So they go to, it's not really plan B. This was plan A all along. They bring out the white. And we got the mountains, got this, you know, the box.
The hound, sorry.
The hound's got the case, the coffin strapped to his back. He's, you know, very careful in like taking it out.
Even and the hound is not like a fearful guy, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can tell he is quivering.
And
everyone's kind of like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, you know, and like, I was like, you know, on the edge of my seat during this scene too, because I at first, you know, when the thing was going nuts earlier in the episode when the hound, you know, tapped on the cage, I thought, you know, don't they have him like chained on chains on chains, just like totally restricted? And then the hound kind of spills it out, and it just like, I didn't realize it was chained up at first. It just like starts running
at
Cersei. And I thought maybe like their demonstration, they did it perfectly, but I thought when I saw it running, I'm like, did they really not chain him up? Like, were they planning on just killing him in like 2 seconds? Like, what is this? So that was an awesome move on their part.
Group project, like presentation, like A+, honestly.
Yeah, so
the one thing I was sketched out about, because there is like a little delay from when like the white like pops out of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, because remember the hound,
think it wasn't there?
The hound left it outside of the negotiations with some like scoundrels, you know? And then and then like you're on leaves. It's like, what? And then it's like not in there. Like, it's not in there, but it's like,
I had the same like, thought for a moment. Yeah.
And everyone's kind of staring at each other. And I'm like, shit. Like, did this, like, is it gone? Like, you know, what the?
Yeah, because like he opened it up and it wasn't moving. It wasn't making noise or anything. So I agree. I had the same thought for a second.
And then
like,
it's wild. And
did
out.
It get like, out? Is there just a zombie like wreaking havoc on King's Landing?
Yeah, he's going rogue. We got a rogue white. No, we don't. It comes out with the blue eyes blazing, and it goes right at Cersei. Chain them up. And that's group presentation, man. They were dicing it up. John gets handed the fire. We can kill him by fire, or we can kill him. You know, it's the presentation was just flawless.
And you know, you had Qyburn there checking out the hand of the white, making sure you know it's not some trick. Making sure this is real.
Some sorcery. Yeah.
Yeah. And
he's got nothing to say. He's got nothing to say. Everyone is just kind of like shook up as can be.
Yeah, that was just very, very strong.
Including what we thought was Euron.
Yeah, so the wild card, he's kind of the first one to say something, you know, to address the group. And he says, you know, I've been around the world. I've seen
everything.
Things that would, you know, things that you can't imagine.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I've ever seen that terrifies me. So.
Which ended up being fake news.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to, it ended up being fake news. But at the time, and he says, you know.
He sells it good.
He sells it good. He says, I see, you know, I see that thing. I'm going to take my fleet. the Iron Fleet to the Iron Islands.
Yep.
And we're going to be the only ones left alive after this war. So we'll see you later.
And he also says, Danny, get on out, dude.
Yeah.
Go back to your islands. Get out of here. And,
yeah.
And he takes off. So let's pause right there. Let's get some tweets we have out because the tweets are absolutely flying in like no other. And I'll go to a few I'll go to initial reaction. And we put out the initial reaction. What do you think of tonight's episode? Amazing, great, average, or bad? And I'll always pose it to you here, Curry. What did you think of tonight's episode? Amazing, great.
I mean, we're still in the moment, so I try not to get too caught up in the moment and
remove
say that,
oh,
it was amazing because, you know, after every episode right away, you're thinking about how amazing it was. But
I think it was amazing.
I think it was amazing. Yeah.
I think it was amazing. I mean, and the public obviously agrees. 61% say amazing, 26% say great, 13% say average or bad. So the vast majority are in the great or amazing, with the 61% big dog coming in with amazing, one of the best. And I think one of the reasons why this is just so, like, every episode is better than the next is just because the consequences of every action and every scene, every character plot, all that is just magnified with the time shrinking that we have left.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like everything is so much more consequential than it was in season three because we're just up against this finite amount of episodes left. So tweets were flying in, obviously. The show never ceases to amaze. That is from Pat McGuire. We appreciate him tweeting in. My G-O-D, spelled like G-O-T, amazing, from a skate. From at a skate, what was this? That was technically the longest episode, but it flew by far one of the best. That is from True Breezy. Excellent. Thank you, Game of Thrones, HBO, George R. R. Martin, et cetera, et cetera. That is from at Nick23. So we appreciate those tweets coming in. Just a few off the surface there that I read. Don't want to, you know, go through all of them, obviously, but we appreciate everyone tweeting in. That's initial reaction wise. You say amazing. I say amazing. And let's just continue on with a little recap before we get to, you know, everyone else's reaction. So go ahead.
So as we're saying, Euron, he sees the white.
Yeah.
He dips out. He
yeah.
says, I'm not messing with that. I'm going to go home. I'm going to take my ball and go home. So
yeah.
After that, Cersei, and it kind of surprised me just the whole way this negotiation went was that it was all, you know, there wasn't really too much, like, you know what, I'm going to take a moment, I'm going to sleep on this. And there was nothing like that. Like,
no.
Everyone said what they answered the questions and put out their plans right away. And that was kind of surprising to me, especially from Jon's part. But first we have Cersei here. She says, you know, all right, I agree to your truce. You know, I'll pull back my armies into the city.
Varys
King's
has
Landing.
Got a smile ear to ear. In a rewatch, you'll see. He's like crazy smile, like mad smile.
Like he's a mole.
Yeah. Hashtag Bear's mole. No, just kidding.
For various truthers.
Yeah.
So she says that we'll accept the truce, but only if the king in the north, you know, also has a truce and doesn't get involved, doesn't pick a side afterwards. So, you know, that's she's making a power play here. She's saying, all right, like, if I'm going to give up this. She said, you know, how do I know that you're actually, you know, fighting the zombies?
You're not just trying to stretch out.
You're not just going
to
show up again later with, you know, four times the size, you know, of your army.
Exactly.
So she says, you know, I'll agree to this truce, but only if the North sits out and doesn't get involved in the war between, you know, me and Daenerys. Basically.
And Daenerys drops the, like, oh, but you don't care about me? She's like, I know you wouldn't agree to it. And if you did, I'd trust even less than I do now.
And then, yeah, and then Cersei gets kind of, she plays up the emotion of it a little bit and says, but I know that Ned Stark's son would be true to his word.
You know,
she's kind of.
She plays on, not his heartstrings, but she plays on
his honor.
Exactly.
You know, his honor is a Stark, his honor is Ned Stark's son. So that was a power play from her. And then, of course, Jon, right away, like, I thought maybe this is the kind of thing where it's like, you know, give me 5 minutes, we're going to huddle up and discuss. But
yeah.
Jon right away goes, you know, look,
I'm not going to.
I can't. Yeah, he says, I can't because I can't serve two queens and I've bent the knee to Daenerys Targaryen. And then Cersei's like, all right, well, fuck it. And everyone just leaves.
Fuck it. We're out. Yeah. A famous Curry quote there as well. But yeah, we're out. And we're out of 5K. They waltz out.
They wheel on out of there. And everyone is just left kind of looking at Jon like, what are you doing? Tyrion says, you know, everyone respects it. They all respect it because he's true to his word. He's
and they've been trying to get him to do this for you know, and he
And Tyrion's like, you couldn't lie. Try lying once, maybe.
You need to learn how to do
and
that.
And Daenerys says, you know, that's I respect it. I'm happy that you are loyal to me, but you know,
now we just
we did all that. Yeah, my dragon died for nothing. We did all this for nothing. Like, I respect it, but why?
Yeah.
And so John's kind of standing there like, oh, shit, like, what have I done?
And he's like, he hates what happened. He says, I hate what happened, but, you know, I got to, you know, he pretty much says, like, listen, like, if we're just going to build this whole shit on a lie, like, it's not even worth it. So.
Yeah, yeah.
He's cool. And then Tyrion makes power play of the day. And I think it's a goat of the week nom.
I agree. This is probably Tyrion's best episode of the season because a lot of his plans haven't been good at all. So
getting shit on. Maybe because Varys is a mole. Definitely not, though.
So we have that Tyrion says, I'll go meet Cersei by myself. You know, she wants to murder me, but she'll definitely murder you, talking to Jon.
Yeah, because Jon's like, oh, man.
Yeah,
you know,
Jon's like, I'll do it. I'll
hero
do
ball
it.
Guy.
Yeah, Jon is, he's getting a little Russell Westbrook-y. You know, he's got to share the ball a little bit.
Exactly. He's got assist. But one thing I thought back on when this happened, when Tyrion was making this move, you know, big man on campus move here for him, is back to a convo, I think it was last episode, him and Daenerys had, when they talked about like people trying to be heroes, and how she likes Tyrion because like,
he's not a hero.
He doesn't
so, yeah, I think the quote that we said was that heroes are stupid and die or something like that because they are trying to be heroes.
Exactly. And that's why she likes Tyrion because he doesn't do that.
He's smart.
He's a smart guy. And he goes hero balling. Which is kind of like, I thought, like, you know what? Like, she told him, and he's toast now. Like, I thought we might lose Tyrion.
Yeah, I definitely was nervous for Tyrion as he was walking up there to Cersei. He's, being escorted by the Mountain, who's, I mean, next to anyone, he's an imposing figure. But he's, like, three times the size of Tyrion, if not more.
Yeah, if not more. And then he talks to Jaime. Jaime drops, like, I guess we should say goodbye, like, two idiots from another. It's like, I'm like, whoa. Like Jaime's like... Like he's
yeah, he says, oh, I guess we should say goodbye. And I'm like, did Jamie just say, like, hey, dude, you're going to die?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And yeah. I was actually like, it kind of, I mean, and then we see a shift from this later in the episode. But, like, Jamie, like, letting, like, Cersei meet with Tyrion, like, without Jamie there kind of just shows, like, how he, like, she's in charge. Like, you got to deal with her. Like, I'm not even in there.
Yeah, she's in charge. Jamie is... His importance from the start of the season has totally dropped. I mean, and we see that later on. But.
Exactly. But he doesn't even take part in the meeting between, you know, the brother and sister. He's sitting on the outside, says goodbye, pretty much like it's game over.
I wanted to address this, that something we skipped over was with Jaime and Brienne at the end of the negotiations he's heading out and Brienne...
She drops the F-bomb.
Yeah, she stops him
from
and
the
says, you know...
Lady Brienne.
She stops him and says, you know, talk to your sister. Like, what, you know.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Well?
How can you stand by and just let her say that when, you know, we got, after we showed you the white and
he
we got everything.
The loyalty bomb, the L bomb.
Yeah,
yeah. The L card.
Yeah.
She drops the fuck loyalty.
Yeah.
So, big play from her, just like, pretty much saying, like, fuck it. Like, she's a strong woman. She's obviously rattled by the white.
Yeah, and I think that conversation there kind of foreshadows the later interactions with Jaime and Cersei because he said,
absolutely.
She says, you know,
fuck loyalty.
Fuck loyalty. Like, this is more important.
Exactly.
So, anyway, so we get to Tyrion and Cersei's negotiation.
Yes.
And this one, you know, again, very, very intense, very personal, very emotional. Two people that absolutely hate each other for good reason.
Yep.
They both try to kill each other. Or, you know, he says, I've thought about killing you so many ways. And she could have had him killed right there. And
he even says it. He almost like dares her to.
Yeah. Well, she blames him for basically killing their entire family, the whole Lannister family. Which, and he indirectly
kind of has.
Yeah, he goes out and says, you know what, you're right. I killed mother when I was born. I killed our father.
Because of me.
Because of me, Myrcella and Tommen died. Joffrey wasn't really his fault at all, but
he got blamed for it.
And he says, you know, I killed your family. You know, do it. You know, give the order. And she doesn't do it. So
she looks away.
Yeah, so that was a very tense moment. Tyrion decides to tone it down a little bit, pours himself a glass of wine, pours Cersei a glass of wine.
You know she ain't drinking that.
Which she doesn't touch. And, you know, as she's later speaking, she's talking about the importance of family, and she's got her hand on her stomach a little bit. I don't know if that's like... kind of obvious at that point that she was pregnant, but like, why? I don't know if she was trying to give it away or not, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, Tyrion goes like, oh, you're pregnant. And she says, you know, when that thing came at me, the only thing I was thinking of was, you know, protecting the ones I love, protecting my family. So Cersei being pregnant clearly has, I mean, that's how she's always been, was, you know, I love my children, I'll do anything for my children. Her being pregnant, you know, with potential to have another child, it just, that's, she's right back to where she was with, you know, she has something to live for, more motivation, you know, rather she's not as crazy as much of a wild card now that she has a child potentially. Yeah.
No, let me take a quick moment to reset here at the, almost at the 30-minute mark. Wow, we've been wheeling here. And once again, this is right after Thrones with Matt Datz, Tim Curry. We are live here at just past 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Sunday night, right after the episode. Season finale was fantastic. We both agreed it was amazing. Initial reaction. Now, sent out a bunch of tweets about who the best episode, who the worst episode, favorite moment, least favorite moment. Those tweets are flying in. We're going to get to them shortly. We'll pick up the pace here a little bit with the recap and the reaction. Just so much to get through with the longest episode in series history. But it sure did fly by, as one of our listeners tweeted in. So, Tyrion, that's how the convo ends, with the you're pregnant.
With you're pregnant, yeah. So then we get a cutaway to Daenerys and Jon. Again, she's saying, like, why did you do that, blah, blah, blah.
Intimacy is at an all-time high. They're in, like, a little cubby in the dragon pit.
Could cut that tension with some dragon glass.
Exactly.
And she had a big quote here that I wrote down, was that a dragon is not a slave, talking about the dragon pit and how this was kind of the end for the Targaryen dynasty once they started putting their dragons in chains and putting them in here. Yeah. And she also kind of opens up to Jon. She says, you know, you were right. If I trusted you, everything would have been different. You know, if I just trusted you off the bat. But here we are. So Tyrion rolls in. Cersei rolls in after him. And this was kind of surprising. You know, she says, we're going to face it together. She says, you know, I'm going to send my armies north. We'll face it together. And then afterward, I hope you guys will remember that, you know, I did this.
Yeah.
That was so out of character for her. You know, I didn't think that would happen. When it did happen, I thought, you know what, that is kind of a power play from Cersei by saying, you know, I'll send you my armies now, but, you know, later, you got to remember that I did this, because it wouldn't make sense if they joined up in arms now and then all of a sudden, you know, they win this war,
together,
come back down and, you know, just fucking kill her and take the throne.
So. Exactly. And it aligns with the whole, like, it ends with she's pregnant and it's kind of like, hey, if you want, this is your best chance at survival, which Jamie talks about later. But if you want survival, you're getting the best of both worlds. You're getting people helping you fight the undead. And you're getting a potential, like, you know, we're not just going to, all right, we won, now let's kill you now. So I think this is, like, her prolonged stance. I thought, we talked about the preview pod, she would do this, you thought she would do it, would not offer up any troops.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, even a more proactive stance she's taking here. And, you know, it is kind of a power play, like you said. So
let's,
let's go. Like, yeah, woohoo. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it was a feel-good moment for everyone, other than Cersei, I guess. They're all like, you know, all right, like, good is winning.
Yeah.
But
let's
skip ahead a little bit and just kind of wrap up the Cersei, Jaime, King's Landing stuff here before we address Winterfell and everything that happened up there. So towards the end of the episode, we get Cersei and Jaime are you know, Jamie is in the map room. He's strategizing for the war. He's going to, you know, discussing sending troops up to Winterfell and all that. And Cersei says something like, you know, what the hell are you doing? Like, are you really that stupid? Like, you know, and,
she's in full biatch mode.
Oh yeah. This is more like Cersei. This is right up her alley. You know,
yep.
She says, you know, we're not helping them. She lied. And this, you know, I wrote down here, just, I was so pumped up, I just wrote down, like, lied with an exclamation point. But this shows the direct comparison between Cersei and Jon, is that Jon could have lied to accomplish, you know, what they wanted.
Yes.
As Tyrion said, you know, try lying, but he didn't do it. Cersei, we know she's willing to do anything it takes to win, and...
which is somewhat admirable.
So, yeah, I mean...
If you're in her corner.
I guess, yeah. So she lies. And she says, we're not helping them. She says, let them go up there. This is what we predicted in the preview pod, was that she would say... We didn't predict that she would say that she was helping them and then not help them, but we predicted that she would say, okay, we'll truce. You know, you guys go head up there and I'll stay back here, basically.
Yeah, and she's building up her shit now.
Yeah,
she's going in for the Golden Company.
Yeah, so that's what we get next. Is she's woke, Cersei. She says they only had two dragons there. They had all of Dothraki, all the Unsullied, but only two dragons. You know, she's woke to that. She says
She's so woke.
She says something happened to a dragon. And then Jamie...
Like, we don't know.
Yeah, Jamie's like, it could just be back home, like, with her fleet. Like, what do you mean?
She's like, no. Like, she gets it. She's woke as shit.
But you know, this is where we see Jamie make his turn, which I've been rooting for seasons now.
Yeah.
And he says, look, we can't beat them. Like, I fought
you
them.
Idiot.
I was there.
He's
like,
pissed.
He says, you know, the dragons, the Dothraki, the Unsullied, we can't beat them.
It doesn't matter who wins.
And then,
it's a lose-lose. No matter who wins this.
And then he says, on top of that, he says, you know, like you're saying, lose-lose. He says, if we go up there if they go up there, the Army of the Dead win, they come kill us all. If they go up there and beat the Army of the Dead, they come down here and kill us all because we didn't help.
Exactly.
So,
and she drops this gold, you know, we got the Iron Bank, you don't understand the importance of gold,
mm-hmm.
You know, all that jazz, because they're going to go and try and get these 20,000 men in the Golden Company. Which is like these, you know,
the Golden Company is like the best army in the world, apparently,
in this world.
Yeah, and they're mercenaries. They fight for whoever pays them. And she says that they have horses, they have elephants. That, you know, she says that they're going to be our yeah. That's how we're going to win. Yeah,
yeah, because we got the Bank of the Iron Bank. We got Lady Olenna's. We got the bread from Lady Olenna.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
and she reveals Euron's true intentions, that,
yes,
says, you know, Euron Greyjoy, you really think he would be the kind of guy
is the thing, I think, that this was
that
the straw,
Jamie off.
The straw that broke the camel's back. He fucking hates Euron.
Absolutely. And for good reason. He's a douche.
He's a scumbag. And he's trying to bang, like, the chick he likes. For even just that reason alone.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think that's the straw that broke the camel's back. When he's like, you made a plan with Euron Greyjoy without
telling me, that you know, your brother, the commander of your
army.
Armies?
What the are you doing? You're a nutbag. Like, you're literally officially batshit crazy, and I'm out.
Yeah, he starts walking away from her, and he says, you know, the mountain steps in. She says, you know, no one walks away from me.
I told you no one walks away from me. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like, we haven't seen it.
I was terrified for Jamie in this moment.
I stood up out of the chair. You know, I'm rocking in the rocking chair every week. I stood up. I said, oh. And I was like, shit, dude, she's going to do it.
And it's the same thing Tyrion said to her.
It's brother, said, brother.
Know, yeah. He said, do it. Kill me. Just give the order.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, it's a really tense moment. She's, you know, glaring at him. She gives a head nod to the mountain. He whips out. He starts to unsheathe his sword.
What the hell is going on?
And it's like, in my mind, I'm like, no, like, she can't kill Jamie. Jamie has to kill her. Like, no. And then he's got some stones on him. He says, I don't believe you. And he walks away.
And the mountain stands down.
Like, oh, man, that was,
woo,
man. I think Jamie's got a Go to the Week nominee for that.
Exactly. Just
finally turns his back on Cersei. And then, you know, we see him wrapping up.
He's riding out. He's wheeling.
He's wheeling out. He's riding north by himself. And it starts to snow, which I guess that's kind of symbolic there.
Exactly.
You know?
So symbolic. So any more to touch on that storyline? I'll get to these tweets. They're flying in. Like,
so yeah, that wraps up King's Landing.
35 minutes too. So we're 35 minutes into the pod right now. Reacting live, right after Thrones. Twitter handles right after GOT. For those of you listening on the pod, you know, we react to every episode. I guess it might not be for a year, maybe a year plus. We're back live on the air. But it's 11:10 Eastern, and we're reacting live with you via the Twitter sphere, via the live stream as well. Let's get to these tweets. We got, wow, they are just flying in like never before. So I want to get to, it's tough to get to many of these because we haven't really gone through them. We haven't gone through all the scenes. So,
which ones do you want to touch on here? I'm going to look at the replies.
Favorite moment maybe, but I don't know because we haven't really talked about all the moments. So how do you want to go about this?
We'll just scroll through some. I look at the first like three, and it's all stuff we haven't discussed yet. So
let's keep wheeling, keep rolling. We're just reacting, recapping. You know, fantastic, Epi. So where are we going to next?
All right, so we wrapped up.
We're 35 minutes after the episode. My heart is still.
So we wrapped up King's Landing. Now let's head up to Winterfell / Dragonstone. They were also in Dragonstone, but we'll start with Winterfell. We'll start with Arya and Sansa here. So we see Winterfell. This is early in the episode, and
it's bad news bears, man.
It's not good.
It's not pretty.
It's not good.
It's not pretty.
We see Sansa is talking with Littlefinger.
She's talking faceless men.
He has got the puppet strings working.
Oh my god!
He's got some real estate in her head. It is working. He's, you know, she's like, "Are you kidding me? John bent the knee. Are you like to the Dragon Queen? Like, what did we do? What is he doing?" You know,
and then she's talking about faceless men.
Yeah, she's talking about Arya, saying, "You know, Arya's a faceless man. You know what they are." And then Littlefinger's like, first he's putting the John thing in her head. He goes, "Look, you know." He was named King of the North. He can be unnamed, you know?
Fuck that,
which is his way of saying, like, you know, big sign that says Sansa for Queen on it. Like,
yeah.
And then she's talking.
And he's so confident, man. He's so confident.
He's scheming, man. He always is.
Schemer. B-Rap. I know you're listening.
So she says, she's talking about Arya and saying, you know, he says, what is the worst possible thing? He says, and we see this again later, he says, I play this game where I think, what is the worst possible thing that could happen?
Sucks, man.
Yeah. But this is how he's got this far, because he's just
an ultimate
schemer, and he thinks
of
all these things.
He set the motion, which comes up later.
Yeah, so he just says, you know, what's the worst possible thing she could be here to do? Like, does that explain her behavior? Blah, blah, blah. And basically, the idea that he puts in her head, and he kind of... It's almost like Inception. Like, he puts it in her head, but he makes her think that it's her idea. Like, she's the one connecting the dots, but he's the one that kind of drew it out for her.
And he's loving it. He's eating it.
So she says, you know, all right, Arya came here to kill me because she thinks I betrayed our family.
Yep.
And that's why she has the letter as proof for when she kills me. And she could be the new Lady of Winterfell when she kills me. So, like, she's connecting all the dots that Littlefinger drew out for her, and it's not looking good for the Stark girls.
Yeah.
And Littlefinger right now, he's doing what he does.
He's Geppetto, dude. He's the puppet master.
Yeah, he is the puppet master. So
they summon her. They summon Arya.
Yeah. This is later in the episode, and after a different scene, but shortly after. Yeah, so Sansa summons Arya to the Great Hall.
And, like, all the lords, too.
And, yeah, she gets there. She's escorted there. All the lords of the North are there. Littlefinger's there.
It is intense.
We got Bran is there at the head of the table.
Bran wheeling
her.
In.
The Bran wagon. He's up there.
The Bran wagon, exactly.
And, this was an intense moment because, you know, Arya, she's, like, supremely confident, but, you know, we don't know why. Yeah. And Sansa says...
We talked in the preview pod. As to why it could happen, but we didn't. I honestly didn't think. I think you feel the same way that we wouldn't get another like puppet master scene.
Yeah.
If this was the route it was going to go, but we did get it.
And one thing I wanted to briefly mention before we discuss the rest of the scene is that there is a popular theory out there this week that Arya had already killed Baelish and was wearing his face.
Yeah.
And that was kind of in the back of my mind when Baelish was talking to Sansa. I was like, all right, now is there a chance that he's Arya right now, like testing her faith? Maybe. But then we see them both in the same room, so that kind of put that one to bed.
Exactly.
And that's good, because that theory... That was
I don't like that at all.
The way it actually turned out was way better. So, we get...
Break it down.
Yeah, Arya is brought in the room, and she says, you know, are you sure you want to do this? Like, she's confident, but she's like, you know, do you really want to do this, Sansa? Sansa's like, yeah, you know, let's get on with it. You're charged with murder.
Beautiful.
And treason.
Beautiful.
And she looks over at Baelish and says, you know, Lord Baelish. It's like, oh my God.
What
like,
the fuck? Let's
so
go.
Many, I wrote down so many exclamation points. You know it's great when I don't have many notes because I'm too excited watching it.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, they totally turned the tables on Baelish.
He's fucking awesome. I know.
It's been seasons coming. We put him on Death Watch probably like the third time this season or more because mm-hmm. we've been thinking he could go any minute as soon as Arya showed up.
We got a poll. I'll bring out the poll.
And, yeah, so we hit on that one tonight. And just the way it went down. They're reading off his list of everything he's done. You know, you pushed Lysa Arryn down the moon door. You conspired to murder Jon Arryn. You started the conflict between the Starks and the Lannisters. You killed my father. Like, all this stuff. And he...
The rap sheet is on.
Yeah, and he's denying all of it or trying to defend it by saying, I did it for you. I did it for good reason, blah, blah, blah.
I was protecting you.
And he says, this is the part, he says, you know, no one was there, you don't have any proof. And then the Bran wagon walks, you know, he says, you held a knife to father's neck. You said that he shouldn't have trusted you. And like,
Littlefinger shook.
He's shook, he's speechless. And Bran's just emotionless.
Bran's just a freak show forever. Bran. But, yeah. And then he gets on his knees, begging.
He's so pathetic. He's in tears.
I know.
He's on his knees.
I love your mom, dude.
I loved your mom. I loved you.
What does that help? That doesn't help.
And that's what Sansa says. You know, you loved me. You loved her, but you betrayed her. You loved me. You betrayed me. Like,
that's what you do.
And it was great because when she starts reading off the list at first, he goes, "Hey, Sansa, can we discuss this in private?" Like,
yeah.
No, dude, you're fucked.
You're fucking done, bro. You're done.
Oh,
so
man.
Toast.
And then he says, you know, can you give me a chance to defend myself? And she's like, all right, whatever. And he immediately runs to the Knights of the Vale to Lord Royce. Says, you know, I'm the
rightful commander. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm the warden of the Vale. I command you to go, you know, protect me, escort me back to the Vale.
I think not.
And, yeah. Oh my God, that was great. That was great. Like, was he that? That's like the all time Hail Mary of like, what do I do to get out of here right now? Like
Lord Royce, let's go. Let's wheel out of here.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, bro? Come on, dude. You're done.
So then
the dagger.
Sansa, she gives the sentence, and Arya is the one who swings the sword, the dagger, his dagger, and
poetic justice.
Poetic justice, indeed.
Slice a Rooney. So. I mean, where are we going to go from here? I don't even want to talk much.
That was just...
About Theon. The Theon scene, I think, was a waste.
Did I even write anything down for them? Let's go.
He gets kneed in the would-be gonads.
I don't think I wrote anything down for that. But we'll discuss it a little bit. So
real,
we see... I did write it down. Okay, so we see Dragonstone. John, Daenerys, the whole crew, they're back at Dragonstone. Pace, unreal pace.
Everyone's wheeling.
And so they're kind of strategizing around the painted table. You know, are you going to fly up there to the north? Are we going to take the King's Road?
Dude.
Or whatever, you know, are we going to sail to White Harbor? And Jorah is making some good points. He says,
Jorah's fucking right, dude.
He says, they don't like the Targaryens in the north. One guy could try to go for glory.
Crossbow, little flash to your boy Tyrion, because he's a crossbow whiz kid with killing important people.
And, But she stands by John and says,
oh,
you know, look, man. I'm not trying to conquer the North. We sail together to White Harbor.
Together. Find together.
In a biblical sense. And
with.
Yeah. So then we get Theon and John in the throne room of Dragonstone.
Mm-hmm.
And Theon asks, you know, for a private moment, you know, and...
He grants it.
So it's John and Theon and...
It's weird as shit.
Yeah. There was like a different kind of tension here. And this was a huge moment for Theon, as was the next moment.
He went balls out, no pun intended.
You know, he says to John, he's trying to apologize to John, basically, just for
screwing over
for his whole fucking life. And And he says, look, you know, my whole life I've been
he
torn.
He plays the pity card
yeah,
a little
he's,
bit.
Like, I've always been torn. Am I a Greyjoy? Am I a Stark? Like,
fuck you, bro.
You know, and John says, basically, to sum everything up, John says, you know, look, we have to be honest with each other in the end. And, you know, our my father was more of a father to you than Balin Greyjoy ever was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've always, you know, there's no choosing between the two. You're Greyjoy and you're Stark. So that's John just he always knows what to say. You know, that's what leaders do. He's like it's like Tim Tebow-esque there. You know,
yeah.
Just you speak to the guy who's down. You get him up. You hype him up to make the next play in
yeah,
the game.
Exactly.
And that's
what's the most important play? The yeah. next play for John.
Exactly.
So. He gets him out of here. What are you still doing here? You want Yara, you want to save Yara? Get out of here. Then we get this weird-ass beach fight scene that everyone's kind of like, dude, this is the season finale of, like, the most important series of all time, and we're getting, like, an irrelevant fight scene on the beach.
Yeah, yeah. Grand scheme of things, pretty irrelevant. But huge moment for Theon, who, again, the grand scheme of things, Theon doesn't matter. He's totally expendable. I expect him to die next season.
Also, they're going to be going to what I assume is the Iron Isles, and Theon's not there.
Euron's not there.
Euron's not there.
Sorry. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what like, I don't know what they're doing. But
get that out of here. Get it out.
Yeah. So we see. So Theon is with like his troop of men or whatever. The guys that picked him up out of the water.
He gets his face clocked.
And I don't even know what this guy's name is. I don't
exactly
know if he has
that.
A name.
He's getting significant airtime in the season.
Yeah.
Now, for the worst part of the episode, I'm sure that's blanketing the nominations.
Yeah. So, and he says, you know, look, we should go save Yara. He's making an emotional appeal, and the guy says, you know, fuck you. We're going to go to find an island. We're going to kill all the men. We're going to take the wives. Like,
that's
gonna,
what we do.
We're going to do what we do. He says, no, house. Like, we said we weren't going to do that. Yara said we weren't going to do that. And then everyone's like, dude, Yara's dead. Like, even if she's not dead yet, she's dead.
She's
like,
freaking dead.
And they're right. They're definitely right. Like, she should be dead.
So they do a little trial by combat, pretty much, or decision.
Yeah, yeah. And
the old, you know, it comes down to the old kicking the nads that doesn't know.
That was kind of crazy. Like, Theon is getting his ass beat. Rightfully so. This guy's bigger than him. Theon is kind of a bitch. And
slightly a bitch.
And then, yeah, he knees him in the balls or, you know.
Would be go down.
Well, yeah. And he, you know, does it like three times and nothing happens. It's almost like
it's
that, like,
weird scene.
Yeah.
Like,
it's almost like that revitalizes Theon. He's like, wait a minute. I don't have balls, man.
And the guy shook his head.
Yeah, and then Theon, you know, turns the tables on him. And this kind of reminded me of Fight Club, which I don't know if you're too familiar mm-hmm. with it, but the one scene in Fight Club where Brad Pitt, like, purposely gets his ass beat by the owner of the bar, and then he jumps on him and has, like, the blood on his face. It was just like that, because Theon's face is all bloody. Then finally, he turns the tables, he gets on top of this guy, and he's all bloody. There's, you know, Theon's blood is on this guy's face.
Yeah.
Theon's pounding his head in.
I love that. The action you're putting here in the studio.
Yeah, I'm out here acting it out here in studio dats. And so big moment for Theon. I feel like just that whole scene, the whole sequence with Jon and Theon leading to the beach, just shows that it's character growth for Theon, almost like a rebirth, like a new Theon, you know? He's no longer this, like, pathetic, lost character. That, you know, the one that ran away when he had a chance to fight for Yara. Like, you, now he's got his, you know, his courage back. I was going to say, like, he's got, like, his balls back, but he doesn't. He's got his courage back a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that wraps up Theon. Hope they don't spend too much time on him next season,
yeah,
whenever
really
that comes. And then...
Is it just Sam Altarly?
Yeah, the end here, we have Sam, Bran, and then a little... Oh, and then the huge thing at the end. So we got two huge sequences of events here at the end.
There's just so much.
And so we see Sam. He's wheeling into Winterfell. And
Pace.
Yeah. And we were saying, you know, where is he going to go
from
the Citadel? Is he going home? Is he going to Winterfell? He goes to Winterfell. He didn't have many places to go.
Exactly.
And Bran. He says... You know, Sam goes in there and
oh, Sam Altarly.
Yeah, Sam Altarly. He goes, oh, I didn't know you remembered me. Oh, I remember everything.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Anyway, so
this guy's just got no, like, social yeah. cues.
He's
social
he's a tool, but
he's a tool.
He had a good episode. Anyway, so he says, I'm the three-eyed raven now, and Sam
nice,
smiles and just says, I don't know what that is, and he says, you know,
he can't see the future. Though.
Yeah, he does leave out the future. He says, I can see the present, everything happening now. I can see the past, everything that's already happened. Doesn't say you can see the future, so that's good. I like knowing the limitations of people's powers so that they can't just do anything.
Exactly.
Like, you know, we heard from Arya last week that, like, she can only take the faces of people she kills and that she can do their voice and stuff. So I like when we get a little explanation of people's powers.
Of the cheat codes they've put in this series.
Yeah. So, huge moment. Bran says Jon needs to know the truth about himself. That
he said Jon's coming back to Winterfell. That's what he said.
Yes. He says he's on his way. He says he's on his way. And he's like, you've seen that. And then he holds up the little scroll. That was funny.
A little comedic relief right there. And he's with Daenerys Targaryen.
Yeah. And he says, you know,
it's time.
Yeah. He says it's time. Jon needs to know the truth about himself.
Yeah.
And he explains the whole Tower of Joy scene. Says, you know, Jon's the son of the bastard son of Rhaegar Targaryen. It's
like, no, you don't know everything.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Says Jon's, you know, he's the bastard son of Rhaegar and Lyanna. He was born in Dorne. His real last name is Sand, Dornish bastard. And then.
He's Jon's son. Oh, no, he's whatever.
Jon Sand, yeah. Or
Aegon.
Aegon Sand. And then Sam.
Fake news.
Yeah. Sam is like, wait, you can see everything. What about this?
Yo, check this out.
He says, you know, I was transcribing a maester's old records. He said he performed this secret marriage, secret annulment, and, you know, Rhaegar married Lyanna. And then, of course, Bran goes back to see it. So HD. That was pretty cool. Yeah, we get our first glimpse of Rhaegar Targaryen, as we tweeted about. We discussed in the preview pod.
We were all over it.
Guy, he looked a lot like Viserys, kind of, but
very much so.
I guess they're brothers, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we see that they are married, and Bran is putting the pieces together right there. He says, you know, that means that Jon is a Targaryen. That means that Jon is the rightful heir to the Iron Throne. Like, boom.
And his real name.
Like, that's a and his real name we heard
Aegon.
Is Aegon Targaryen, which
rhymes with Jon.
Yeah, there are a lot of there are quite a few Aegon Targaryens in the story. So there's Aegon the Conqueror,
yes.
The one who flew over on Balerion the Dread, took the Iron Throne, made the Iron Throne.
That's a good one.
And then Rhaegar's first son with Elia Martell was actually named Aegon, and then I guess he also named his next. I don't know. Aegon's a strong family name.
They're all family names. Exactly.
Better than being named, you know, after the Mad King or something like that. So Aegon's strong name.
Like a lot. But
as this is going down, this whole explanation,
this is tough,
this voiceover, we see Aegon Targaryen. We see Jon Snow. he's on the ship sailing to White Harbor with Daenerys, and he pays her a little visit to her chambers.
Oh, man.
And just all that sexual tension that's been building up since earlier in the season just comes to a literal climax. and him and Daenerys, they become intimate.
Yes, as we talked about preseason.
Yeah, I've been rooting against this since day one, basically. I'm not a fan of it. I think Daenerys should be a strong, independent woman. And I also think that we shouldn't have our two heroes, our two protagonists having incest. But whatever.
Hey, it's all good. It's all good in the hood.
Yeah, right? Whatever.
So I'm putting out a tweet right now. Did you like the fact that Jon and Dany got it on? Pretty much all.
I know there's a lot of people out there who've been rooting for this for a while.
What do you think the results will be?
I think it'll be mostly yes.
Okay, that's...
I think it'll be maybe like 70-30, maybe.
Okay.
I would say.
I'll put it
saying, you know, yes, thank God, and then there's going to be a strong 30. It's going to be a vocal 30. It's saying, no, I hate that. Like,
okay.
Get that out of here.
So, a strong minority there. So, all right, we're 55 minutes in. This has been straight recap.
Oh.
Because you're looking at an 81-minute episode. It's blitzed with information.
Yeah, and we're just trying to condense it all into this pod. You know, we take what they give us and we give you the important stuff. That's what we do here.
Exactly.
And
we synthesize and then we react. So let's go to the tweets.
We got one more huge thing.
Oh, fuck.
So
I hate this part.
So we discussed this on a preview pod, and I actually said that it would be a very cool last scene way to end the series and end the season with the wall coming down. But then at the end of the pod, you put me on the spot on the hot seat. You said, will the wall come down? And I backed down. I said, no. Well, the wall comes down. So we see they're at Eastwatch, Tormund, Beric, bunch of wildlings. They're up there at East Watch, and all of a sudden, they're looking out, and they just see
the boys are wheeling
the army of the dead, the White Walkers, the giant whites, everything. And then Viserion and the Night King are riding up.
He's mounted,
full mount. He's holding on to him similar to how Daenerys does, and it's almost like that's like the pilot seat. Those are the controls. Like,
yeah,
and immediately they're dipping out. Tormund and Beric, run! We are done. And we see Viserion. He is blowing what seems to be blue fire. That was one of our thoughts last week. Was does the ice dragon? Is it going to blow ice? Is it going to blow fire?
You think it's fire?
And, I would say he's breathing fire because he melted the wall, basically. I guess, yeah. So I think it has to be fire. If it was ice, it would not really melt it, yeah. I guess. I don't know. So he, and it happened pretty quick. He's breathing fire, brings it down, and the wall comes down. And we are left, we don't know the fate of Tormund and Beric. You have to assume that it's not good at the very least.
All screen death, though.
But it wasn't on screen. There was no shot of them falling to their death or being burned to their death or anything. So there's still hope that they, got out of there and they're sprinting away to God knows where.
We're seeing Tormund the White next season for sure. I'm thinking about it.
We
got a long time till then.
Yeah, I thought Tormund and Beric were both going to die last week. So just if they died this week after surviving last week, then that's just a real shame. So I hope they survive, but
all right.
We won't know for a long time.
Exactly. So let's get to the tweets that have been wheeling in an extreme amount. Where do you want to start? Favorite part of the episode?
Yeah, let's see what some people's favorite part of the episode was. Yeah, exactly. So, like we just said, one of our listeners, Papa Doc, he says, Tormund in episode 7 was weak, but I'll call it an off-screen death, so hopefully he and Brienne still have a chance. Yeah, exactly. I feel like, it was off-screen, and you can never be sure, when there's an off-screen death.
Exactly. Where's Stannis at?
All right. Stannis is dead. Sirio's dead. But
Sirio's could be still alive. Go ahead, though.
But you never know.
Best part of the episode, I'm going to wheel through some tweets. There's maybe hundreds here, honestly. I'll just pick a few that stand out to me here. Favorite moment of the episode. We have Rowan Abbott tweeting in Littlefinger, finally bleeping, dying. Literally cried tears of joy. Parentheses, I'm not kidding. Wow. So she's obviously emotionally invested, which we love. We love the tweeting in. Bette McGuire against Peter Baelish getting outwitted, which, the death is almost secondary to him getting, losing.
Getting played, yeah.
Exactly.
He never even saw it coming.
I know. He was so confident, which made it so much better. So many great ones. So many great one-on-one scenes. Jon and Theon had me nearly in tears. But the Stark revenge on Littlefinger was awesome. And then we talked about this in the preview pod. Kind of called this. Not that it was a huge call. But saying how they're going to kill Littlefinger. And then we'll see the quote that we saw in the preview of the season. Pretty much started the season in the season trailer with when the winter comes,
Lone Wolf dies, Pack survives.
Exactly, we got that. We talked about that in the preview, though. Just keep wheeling through. Zach Mattingly tweets in, not the end, but Littlefinger getting called out, so that she obviously wasn't feeling the ending.
We got some people tweeting in about the worst moment, and this was a clever one from Dropping Theories. It says the end credits, worst moment, and I agree, man.
I like that.
It's gonna be a long time so we get to watch some fresh Thrones again.
Too many to pick from. I would say Bran possibly being useful was a nice change.
It was,
but he had to fuck it up by being the backdrop of incest.
Yeah, that's true.
Littlefinger's trial, favorite part, that is Bobby Sperry. Let's just see if there's anything that stands out here. Tyrion seeing Jon and Dany given that foreboding look, like he knows this is going to cause a lot of trouble. How will it play out? Baelish's death, I love it. He died like a really bleeping coward that he is. Rhaegal Hughoun tweeting it all. It was freaking perfect. We're talking about best moments of the episode. Night King breaking down the wall. So we got someone who loved the wall coming down. That is at the Night Slayer. So maybe that's a little nod there.
Baelish getting killed is just getting hammered in these mentions. All the Lannister family reunited in scenes. Yeah, that's pretty. That was pretty cool. Like that. I don't see anyone here. You know, a personal. I think you're gonna agree with this too. Is the Jamie making the move, dude? Jamie finally making the move is huge.
Definitely. So I'm gonna touch on some more people tweeting in about the worst moment, and we have a lot of people saying Daenerys and Jon. So
really?
Again, I think it's a minority, but they're a vocal minority.
Exactly. I have the tweet out rolling right now, and the votes are flying in like no other. 67% said yes, they're happy about it. 18% said no because incest. 15% said no because other reasons.
Yeah. So again, yeah, I just think a lot of people don't like it because of the incest or because of just it's the two heroes and now they're
one.
Right. We got some people tweeting in saying they didn't like the Theon fight.
Worst moment for me is the Theon moment.
Yeah, and I mean,
obviously the Night King bringing down the wall, but
yeah, we got some people tweeting in saying seeing Tormund and Beric trying to survive and not knowing if they survived. This was the worst moment. We got
so
one of our listeners here, Happy Haggis, says Euron's fake cowardice, but I don't think he acted that bit out well. I mean, I thought he acted it out pretty well, but
looking back in hindsight, I guess it's easy to say he can kind of tell, but I didn't see it. You know, maybe we're not deep thinkers.
But yeah, we got a lot of people here saying that the sex scene / incest was the worst. Said, you know, Bran's voice in the background was really driving the incest point home.
Yeah. Which is, you know.
So, yeah, it was what it was. I mean,
exactly.
Some people are going to love it. A lot of people aren't. I'm in the camp that I don't love it, but.
Yeah. So, goat and woke. Who had the best episode? Who had the worst episode?
So, goat and woke.
I mean, John might have the best episode.
Grace of all time scene. Of the week. Woke, worst of all time of the week. Saying we do every week. And let's see what the listeners said for your nominations. We will send out a poll at the end, as we always do.
You going goat or you going woke?
Let's start with goat of the week.
I'll bring up the woke.
So let's see. We have the Night King.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing him bring down the wall, it's huge for the Night King.
We'll be back-to-back goat for him.
Yeah, he'll be up there. We have... Tyrion, perhaps, for uniting the armies, and then Syke. So, Tyrion, you would have thought he had a good episode, but then it turns out that the plan isn't that way. So, Stark family finally pulled a fast one on someone else. So, that's all three of the Starks up in Winterfell. All had a great episode there.
Bran played?
I'm a fan of the Bran wagon this week. I think he's going to be a GOAT nominee. A lot of people saying the Night King. We got Sansa Stark. We got AJ Williams saying Night King two weeks in a row. He says this man's ambition makes me want to kill it at work tomorrow. So Night King is out there inspiring people to go to work.
I love that.
We got Robert Benjamin saying Theon for sacking up, sort of. And so we got some people saying Jon, as always. Jon's always up there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our go to the week nominees, and we'll make sure we'll get out a list and send out the poll. Shortly after we finish up here.
Yeah, for worse, those are obviously been flying into. If you want to touch on some saying, this is at XStory saying, John had a bad episode, almost cost him a support of King's Landing, and the whole unknown incest is a tough one. Cersei, she's grasping at straws. She still thinks she's in control. She's going to end up looking like a coward to her people. Littlefinger gets some noms here from Juan Diego Veron and Kelly E., which is at Mrs. Spongy Monkey, like that. That's good stuff. I like this one here from Catlin_35 says, who had the worst episode? The Wall, in all caps.
Not great for The Wall.
Dan Miller, devout listener, avid mole thinker. He says, Cersei all talk, but doesn't have it to back through, to follow through. You know, Cersei, some more tweets coming in. Baelish for the short term, Cersei for the long term. From your boy Z Dunleavy. Love that take right there. Anything else?
That's it. My vote for this episode, probably gonna go with probably Baelish. I mean, it's probably the obvious one because he died, but he was not just his death, but he was exposed, totally exposed, totally outplayed, outclassed at his own game. So,
which is fantastic.
For
who the best episode
for GOAT? I mean, there's a lot here. You know, I love Jamie's episode. He finally turned his back on Cersei. Been waiting.
Love his episode.
I might have to say Bran for finally being useful.
Yeah.
I still don't like him, but I got to give him credit. Hats off to Bran for this episode.
Jon Snow gets the lady he wants and doesn't lose his honor. Doesn't have to lie.
Yeah, Jon's always up there.
I know you hate what happened.
Yeah.
Who else? Tyrion, he's back in the fold.
Tyrion, he finally had some success with his negotiations, but then also didn't have success because Cersei's playing them. So
yes. How well she play them remains to be seen.
Yeah. I don't know. So my pick for goat, I would say Bran for goat.
What about the Stark sisters? They got to be up there as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely got to say the Stark sisters, but I think Bran, he was part of that Stark sister moment, Stark family moment, and also had the Jon reveal. So
huge big reveal.
So I'm going to say Bran.
Now, where do you want to go from here? Anything else?
Theon, you think Theon had a good moment? So we got one of our listeners here listening live saying that Theon for potential goat, you know, he's got his balls back, kind of, and stood up against that guy who's nameless and is going to go attack, try to rescue Yara. So
yeah, I'm just nervous that Theon doesn't realize. I mean, I know that he doesn't realize that they're off to Essos to grab the Golden Company, and he's rolling up to an abandoned Iron Isles.
Yeah, I mean, we got a long time to discuss and see what's going on.
Do you want to get some macro season takeaways? Because I did tweet out what was the favorite part of the season, what was the least favorite part of the season.
I mean, overall, look at where this season started. It started with Daenerys was finally getting to Westeros.
Dragonstone, first epi.
Yeah, you know, we had Cersei had just blown up all her enemies and just became queen.
Tommen dead.
Yeah, so we went from...
like, we don't know how the Jaime-Cersei dynamic was going to be working.
Yeah, so things really...
Jon was just named King.
Arya had just killed Walder Frey. So we've come a long way, you know, from the end of last season. Now we got the Stark siblings are reunited in Winterfell.
Seven episodes, too.
Yeah, the Stark siblings are reunited. They took out Baelish. So, I mean, they're in good shape up there for now.
Except for that wall coming down.
Except for the wall coming down, yeah. The wall came down. That's probably the biggest macro thing from this episode in terms of, like, the series timeline. It's like, all right, what happened in season 7? Well, the wall came down.
A dragon died.
Yeah, dragon died, wall came down, Jon and Daenerys banged. So that's probably three of the biggest things that happened this season.
Cersei, you know, schemed, and Jaime left Cersei.
Yes, yes. But from the macro, I think it's more wall and dragon and Jon and Daenerys, so...
people tweet in their favorite parts of the season. I'm just going to go Baelish dying, boat sex, definitely, Jaime turning his cloak, the entirety of the last two episodes. I'm just picking out a few here. Don't have time to name everybody. Arya, Brienne, duel. That was a pretty cool moment.
That was a cool moment.
The loot train battle.
The first time that the dragons were unleashed on Westeros. Yeah, that was impressive.
Very impressive. Can we breathe for a bit? I can't decide. Love that. The truth about Jon, Aegon, yeah. So, people loving that. The fall of the wall, the finale, everything. A lot of people are saying everything's their favorite. Top three, can't pick for the best one. Littlefinger dying, loot train, Night King getting a dragon. Just huge macro takeaways. Night King taking down Viserion, the spoils of war. So, just plowing through them. Least favorite part of the season. What do you got, Curry?
Least favorite part, we just saw it. It was Jon and Daenerys becoming intimate. Not happy about it. Not happy about it.
And it's because you just don't like the two heroes going.
Yeah, I mean, again, incest happens on the show. It's okay. I just don't... it's the two heroes. I don't think that incest with the two heroes makes much sense. And I also, like, I liked it better when it was two heroes separate. Now they have to throw a love story in there. And
it's tough.
Yeah, that's not what Game of Thrones is.
No.
But we'll see.
We'll see. Beric and Tormund being swept under the rug like they're extras. They weren't liking that.
That's why I don't think... I think they demand a more prominent death.
Okay.
I don't think you can just kill them by having them fall off screen, basically. So I don't know.
You know, I think season 8 may open up with an undead Tormund and undead Beric.
I don't know.
Just to show the boys are wheeling. Not seeing Jon and Arya reunion. People are not liking that.
That's true. Yeah, we never saw that.
But we will get it.
At some point, you would think.
Yeah, because they're head up there. Tormund's fate. I want giant blonde babies who will conquer.
Yeah.
People loving that. Let's see what else. Sansa, Arya, mess. It got wrapped up nicely in the last episode, but it took up way too much screen time for a 7-episode season.
It did take up a lot of screen time, but I think just the confusion that it caused, and you know, like we were discussing, you know, is she playing? Are they playing Littlefinger? Are they playing chess? He's playing checkers. Like, what's going on? And to have it wrapped up the way it was a fitting ending.
The lack of Clegane Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, there was a brief moment when
I thought they might drop the gloves.
Yeah, when the Hound stepped to him and started calling him ugly, but no
dice. No. John still not knowing he's a Targaryen. You thought we would find that out this season, right?
Yes, I did. I wasn't sure how. I had a lot of different theories.
That's a good tweet from Storm 20 minutes ago.
We definitely need that for episode one next season.
Least favorite part of the season, some people saying Tyrion, what have they done with him? He needs better dialogue. Another person saying how dumb Tyrion was all season.
Not a good season for Tyrion as a whole. Just didn't make many strong power moves.
And he's kind of been like the illustrious, like everyone's kind of like, oh yeah, he's a favorite character. Like the dwarves, like the man in the show. No.
Not a great episode for him.
Not a great season for him, honestly. John actually being an Aegon. What the hell is that? Rhaegar already had a son with that name with another woman.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's kind of strange. A lot of people thought it would be like John Aerys or like Jaehaerys or like something more Targaryen, but still kind of John related. Because otherwise, think about it. Like Ned was just like, all right, his real name is this. I'm going to call him Jon Snow.
Yeah, I'm going to call him John. And he's obviously his last name is Snow.
Yeah.
Dragon Death killed me. Otherwise, I'm good with the best show in television history.
I agree.
I respect that. Too much time spent on Missandei and Grey Worm when it could have been seeing more action. I don't really agree with that. I mean, it was just a night.
Yeah, I mean, they were barely in it at all after that scene. So I think they got enough screen time, the two of them.
Worst part of the season, thinking for a few seconds that Cersei had become a good person.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, and that really threw me for a loop. I didn't want to believe it, but I was confused. So.
Besides Dragonglass and gathering everyone, there doesn't seem to be a war strategy for defeating the White Walkers.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. They have dragons. I feel like that's probably weapon number one, but I don't really know what kind of strategy goes into it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just going to see a huge pace advancement on like the mining of this Dragonglass. Jon already wheeled out like a little dagger.
I was surprised tonight that they didn't mention Valyrian steel when he said that you can kill him with fire, you can kill him with Dragonglass. You can also kill him with Valyrian steel.
Yes.
And John didn't say that. So I feel like that probably should have been mentioned at some point. I know it's rare, but like people do have it. So
yeah, let's go. We went out there. I mean, how about this? I mean, just to go back to the earlier seasons, just like the Sands and like Olenna, like they were just like, they're like almost like assistant coaches out there and they just got smoked.
Yeah. I mean, the Sands, good riddance, but
yeah.
Lady Olenna, yeah, she was supposed to be like a huge asset for Daenerys, and she got smoked right away. So,
where do you want to go to now? Anything else?
I mean, I don't want to talk. There's no trailer. There's no like. There's nothing to base any sort of predictions on for next season. So I don't really want to go into that. We can always do like a prediction theory pod in the coming weeks. But
got six episodes to go, man.
Six episodes to go. We don't know when they're going to be.
We don't know how long they're going
to
be.
Yeah, we're supposedly going to be a long layoff between seasons, which kind of sucks. We do know that they're going to be longer episodes. That's one thing we know.
But, yeah, how much longer? I don't know.
But yeah, we got one season left of Game of Thrones. There's a lot of spinoffs in the works. So, right after Thrones could live on with spinoffs. We'll see.
It could very much could. But yeah, any more takeaways you want to get to, or how do you want to shut this down? It's up to you.
Well, I'm going to send out our Goat and Woad of the Week polls. So let's just come up with our top four nominees for both of those before we sign off here for the season. Goat, as I said, Bran, I think, is my pick for this week.
And then in mid-off season, we'll put out Goat and Woad of the Season.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so go ahead.
So Bran, I think, is an option. We discussed Night King. A lot of people saying Night King for Goat of the Week. Do we want to throw Jon on there? I mean,
he almost made a woke move by butchering the.
Yeah, almost, but didn't. So.
And he was.
How about Jamie? Jamie, throw Jamie on there. Absolutely. Leaving Jamie Cersei, love it.
And what about, do you have the Stark sisters on there?
I do not. So I think we definitely gotta go Stark sisters over Jon.
Love it.
For Woat of the Week. I think number one, got to throw Baelish on there.
Baelish, Bo Show.
2, 3, 4 for Woe to the Week. Let's go back to the tweets and see what the
I'm going Cersei.
The nominees were looking like.
She tried to flex her muscles twice with her brothers and got schooled. She's all in on this. Sell swords out in Essos.
Yeah. She's making her own Hail Marys, you know?
Yeah.
She's lying. She's bringing in reinforcements. She's buying reinforcements. Like, she's a desperate woman.
Exactly. Very much so. And she lost Jaime.
Yeah, she lost Jaime. She drove him away.
Exactly.
Could say the wall, potentially. Let's see. Yeah, for the most part, it's pretty much all Cersei and Baelish from our mentions here.
When you get a death like that's so long awaited from Baelish, I have a hard time seeing him lose. Especially just because, like we talked about, he got outschooled.
Yeah.
Outclassed.
Yeah, so.
Not just killed.
So we'll go Baelish, we'll go Cersei. I guess we could put the wall, not really character, but yeah, we'll see if people throw some votes out there for the wall. One more for Woat of the Week.
Showrunners making it only 7 episodes.
How about guy who got his ass beat by Theon?
Yeah, you gotta find that name.
I'll find his name. Yeah, we'll look it up in the credits. But that guy, total woke move, getting beat up by Theon.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
So we'll throw him on there.
That's a tough death to take.
All right, and we'll get those polls out there. We usually let them run for a couple
of
days.
Did you get Night King and Goat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bran, Night King, Jaime, and Stark sisters. For Woat, Baelish, Cersei, The Wall, and Unknown, Greyjoy, man.
Fantastic. You're cool with shutting it down now, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so off-season will be heavy. Hopefully it's not a long-lived off-season.
Yeah, I mean, the Twitter will be active. Make sure you guys still follow us, still, you know.
We'll get some postseason awards going.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have postseason awards, maybe some theories, predictions. You know, feel free to tweet at us. Yeah, it's going to be a long off-season, but we'll survive together.
Absolutely. So with that, follow Twitter, share the podcast.
Rate, review, subscribe.
Let everyone you know about the pod here. And anything else before I shut it down?
No, it's a great season. And
it's getting sentimental here.
Yeah, it's a great season. It's going to be a long layoff, but we'll be back when Thrones returns.
Absolutely. So for Tim Curry, I'm Matt Datz. This has been Right After Thrones. You'll see us next season, episode 1, Right After Thrones. Thanks.